Chapter 1. Vera. A darkness surged through Roaring Creek, casting a shadow upon its modest homes and oozing onto Vera Martinez's hands. And it all began, at least for her, the day that Maxwell Oliver's pale brown eyes turned her way. He was staring. Vera flipped a fistful of curls in front of her face and pretended not to notice. This was an unfamiliar situation. Boys never looked at Vera, and certainly not like this. She opened an 800-page novel, reduced to the 5-inch screen on her phone, and pretended to read. Discreetly, she scratched her scalp with a nail chipped of black polish and let her gaze slip between her wavy strands. Yep, he was still looking. All right, class. Mrs. Spuler cleared her throat to begin their last day of 11th grade English. Settle down. The teacher grabbed the TV remote, the only tool necessary on the final day of classes. Roaring Creek High School had the feel of an iPhone powering down one app at a time. Science teachers cleaned lab equipment, jocks threw out ratty sneakers, and theater kids sobbed over the end of another magical season. Vera, however, was the app that no one clicked. She was Keynotes or Numbers, an icon you couldn't delete due to the manufacturer's settings, but was rarely engaged. So why was Maxwell Oliver suddenly taking notice? "We'll be picking up Jane Eyre right where we left off," said Mrs. Spuler. So far today, Vera had watched Saving Private Ryan in AP History, Hidden Figures in Pre-Calculus, and now Jane Eyre in Advanced English. "He's not looking at me," she reasoned. Then, because she had to prove herself right, Vera glanced at the window behind her, expecting to see a flying squirrel or mating robins drawing Maxwell's attention. But there was nothing, not even a breeze. Her brow furrowed. Vera and Maxwell had never spoken, not directly, or at least if they had, she couldn't remember it. They'd never been partners on a project or run into each other on the beach. To say they moved in different social circles would imply that Vera had a circle, which she didn't. Unless you counted for her family, and that was just sad. Vera preferred to be thought of as sans circle, the loner, the outcast, the, well, all the other names that people called her. Her parents had unconventional careers, the kind that caused dog walkers to cross the street when they passed the Martinez home, and mothers refused to let their children go over for play dates. Vera had long since accepted this because what other choice did she have? Hating her reality would mean hating her mom and dad, and she refused to go there. Maxwell Oliver, on the other hand, was an athlete, an honest-to-goodness, I competed in the Junior Olympics sprinter. He was beloved. Janitors high-fived him in the hallway, and girls, if given the option, would line up in formal wear for a chance to accept his thornless rose. Vera was different for a slew of reasons that added up to her not being the type who'd catch Maxwell Oliver's eye. Yet he was staring, almost like he had something to say. It made no sense. Every cell in her brain screamed, "Don't fall for it. It's a trick." But still, her stomach twisted with the toxic taste of hope. A shoved-down piece of her soul longed for someone to look at her and see something other than the 5-year-old everyone avoided on the playground. Vera tucked a thick lock of hair behind her ear and gnawed on her lip. She was under no obligation to pretend she didn't notice. He was staring at her, so technically he should be embarrassed. She steadied herself, preparing to meet his gaze head-on. What was the worst that could happen? After today, she wouldn't see Maxwell again until the start of senior year.